This is the Need to Know podcast from the Computer Information Agency with information for IT professionals. For more information and to download other shows, visit ciaops.podbean.com. This is episode 28 with Shane Hoy and is brought to you by the Computer Information Agency. Visit us on the web at www.ciaops.com. Welcome along to another Need to Know podcast from the Computer Information Agency. My name is Robert Crane, and for this episode, I'm joined by MVP Shane Hoy. Shane, how are you going?
G'day. I'm good, thanks. Thanks for having me here.
No problems. And as we start off every podcast here on the CIOps, we just like to get you to give the listeners an idea of who you are and what you do. So if you can just give us a brief rundown on that, that'd be great.
Well, as you said, my name's Shane Hoey, PowerShell MVP from Brisbane. So I do a lot of work these days. I'm concentrating on Link deployments. So PowerShell and Link, they go hand in hand. Link is basically built on PowerShell. So I work for a company, Technology Effect. So we're a relatively small company. We have about, I think there's between 30 and 40 IT pros running around. Around Brisbane, we do a whole range of jobs. So,
and that's good. I mean, and what are you finding with the demand for Link? You know, is it growing? Are you getting more demand from customers to implement Link?
The demand is just growing every day. And every day you're hearing more people putting deployments in, whether it's Link on-premise or the Office 365 with Link.
Okay, so that's sort of what we want to focus here on the podcast and get people to hear and understand and appreciate what the benefits are of Link. So probably a good place to start is if you can give the listeners an idea of, you know, in a nutshell, you know, what is Link? I mean, you know, where are we likely to see it? And again, I think probably the product that is very similar to it is obviously Skype, but that is obviously different. So, you know, what is Link?
So Skype is really good. I mean, that's a good comparison. So Link is Skype for the enterprise, and it does a little bit more than that, because it's got its enterprise voice, so it's a PABX replacement. So, you know, a lot of places these days, your staff are hot desking. They don't need phones anymore. A phone ties you to the desk, so you're replacing your PABX. It's got all the conferencing inbuilt, so I guess it is. It's a lot more improved than what Live Meeting was in past OCS versions. The conferencing component was Live Meeting. It's now integrated fully into Link, so you don't need a separate program. You've got your, of course, and all your standard features of your IM. So your instant messaging. You know, you can do desktop sharing. And that's really the bulk. And of course, video. I mean, you can do video calls too.
So how does Link compare to, you know, a product like Skype, which obviously Microsoft has just shelled out, you know, a fair whack of money to buy that product? I mean, do you see them being integrated? Do you see them running two different tracks? Do you see, you know, potentially Skype staying free and maybe, you know, used in another means? I mean, how does the acquisition of Skype fit in and affect Link, do you think?
So when Microsoft first brought Skype, a lot of people were going, oh, you know, why would they be buying Skype? But if you look at it, it was a perfect, you know, acquisition. They've got Link, and there's two parts to Link. There's the on-premise and the cloud. Now they've brought Skype, they've purchased a consumer version. So now we've got the consumer version being Skype. We've then got the small to medium business being the Link on-premise, and you go to the on-premise version. So you've got Link on Link with Link on-premise.
Okay, so you see that Skype will sort of remain as a consumer product, will remain free. Do you see it? Do you think Microsoft, you know, may start charging for it, or they're always going to keep it in that, you know, the Windows Live, Hotmail, you know, part of their free online services, do you think?
I think they will. I hope they do. I use Skype all the time.
Yeah, I think you're probably not the only one. I think there's a lot of people out there. But again, I think that it's an interesting acquisition because obviously it runs on multi-platform. So you've got Skype running on Android, you've got Skype running on all these other funny operating systems, and really Microsoft should be maintaining that. So I think that's an interesting question going forward. You know, Microsoft as a Windows-based company with its own operating system as to whether it, you know, whether it's going to put as much emphasis on the other clients as it does its own Windows-based product. But again, it does, I think you're right. I think it does make sense. I think it gives Microsoft a lot of flexibility in the voice market. And I think as you're seeing and as you noted there, that there's such a growth in the VoIP market that it makes sense to bring people in to the Skype family, I suppose, with a free offering, and then basically sell them the enterprise version, the link option, which you're talking about. So, I mean,
I was going to say, the other thing is too, with Skype, I mean, you can purchase time now and make, you know, normal mobile phone calls. We ditched our home phone line and running solely on Skype these days. So, you know, they've got a business model there as well. And I've always said too, with the with the acquisition of Skype, a lot of it was about to do with contracts. You think about how many contracts with telcos Skype had generated around the world. Now, a company like Microsoft, for them to, so that you can make the phone calls into every country in the world, that's a huge amount of work to make those contracts.
And I think also too, the other discussion I heard about the Skype thing was they're also buying a huge amount of users, because, you know, one of the most popular applications that, you know, people install on their machines generally is Skype. So there's a huge client base that Microsoft's been able to bring on board. And you know, in a commercial environment, obviously, you know, they can convert those into some of their other products. But, you know, when you look at it, it does make a lot of sense. And it you know, was a smart strategy that fits into their play, where you've got, you know, the live meeting now becoming something like Link, which is enterprise focused and certainly more upmarket. But to bring in something to cover the lower end of the market like Skype does make a lot of sense. And again, if you've got those contracts with the telcos, again, you've automatically got an in on so many options there that, you know, that people are needing, people are asking for. And as you say, look, you know, you're leading the pack, ditching the landline and going for a total internet-based solution. So that's definitely the way that it's going.
And one of the things you were mentioning about Android and the app, so your iPhones, iPads, all that type of stuff. If you look at Link, and with Link Mobility, Microsoft, of course, they brought out Windows Phone 7, Link on Windows Phone 7. They brought it out first, and I think like 2 days later, there it was for iPhone, iPad, Android, and so forth. So they're definitely going across platform. They understand these days that people have multiple devices. It's
I think that's an important fact. I think a lot of people are overlooking that fact now that Microsoft does appreciate that we're living in a world where, you know, people bring their own devices. You know, there's so many businesses that are running tablets or running their own choice of phone, and you do have to support the multiple platforms. And it is, you know, obviously you can, you know, favor one system over the other, but you can't just neglect the other two. So I think it is an important thing to remember. And I think, again, you know, as you mentioned there, that you've now got Skype for basically all the mobile platforms, but importantly, you've also got Link clients now for all those platforms as well. So again, it definitely shows Microsoft's commitment to the cross platform, but at the back end, again, it's got its servers running these sort of products, so it's certainly giving people the best of all worlds, I think.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay, so if we're looking at focusing on Link here, which is what a lot of people may not have had exposure to as yet, as you mentioned, there's a couple of different ways we can implement it. We can implement it on premise. We can do it in the cloud. So if we start by looking at what's involved in the on-premise implementation. So again, if in a perfect world where everybody's got enough money to buy as much IT as they want, what sort of things would you need to be looking at to get, you know, a fully blown Link implementation running on premises? So we're not worried so much about cost here. You know, in a perfect world, what will we need to have?
So up front, we've got to look at planning, and some of that planning is how are our users going to be using Link? Are we going to be using Link Mobility? Are we going to be doing enterprise voice? do we want to do web conferencing? Do we want to do, phone? We want people dialing into the conferencing, those kind of questions. And the deployment of Link is very driven by the business requirements, which most products these days are driven by business requirements. But it's important because if we're going to be replacing our PABX with just Link, you know, people are used to picking up the phone, making a phone call, and the phone just works. So we're going to look at fault tolerance and things like that. So you can't have people picking up the phone and going, oh, you can't make a phone call because I'm rebooting a server. You know, they're the kind of questions you've got to ask yourself. So it really starts off at a management level, working out what are we going to do? What are we going to support? And doing the planning. Installing Link itself is always, I always say it's a bit of an anticlimax, because if I go in and I do a deployment, let's say for 300 to 400 people, where we're looking at replacing the PABX, we'll generally be looking at two front end servers. So the front end servers is where all the users are homed. For redundancy, we'll be looking at two edge servers. The edge servers is where if I'm out on the internet, you can, you know, get back into your Link, log into your Link, sort of like the Exchange edge servers. You're also going to have a reverse proxy as well for doing all your web. So, you know, there's a lot of infrastructure in there, but it's the planning that's the key to it. And it's the planning is what drives some of those decisions.
Okay. So, I mean, you know, again, what would you say is the major motivation for people to implement, you know, Link on-premise? What are they trying to achieve? Is it just purely cost saving, or is it, you know, improved functionality, would you say?
Improved functionality, definitely. You're replacing your web conferencing. It's saving dollars at the end of the day. People want to work from home. They want to work from anywhere. And that's what it was. That's what Link is all about. I don't have an office where I work. I'm always out at customers' sites. But, you know, I could be that, and half the time, the people in the office won't know where I am. I could be at a customer site this morning, another customer site in the afternoon. But if, you know, someone wants to call me, they can just see what I'm doing in Link, because it's got all the presence. You know, you can see if I'm busy, you see if I'm available, forward phone calls. So you could ring me at work and I could be receiving a phone call anywhere, you know, whether it's the airport, the coffee shop, or a customer site.
So basically what you can achieve with Link is, I suppose, you know, most systems in general, is you can have, you know, a single number. Is that, would that be a fair statement? You can say, look, call me on this number and my phone will ring wherever I am.
Yeah, the thing about Link is that once you start using Link, your telephone number becomes irrelevant. I get less and less calls on my phone, more and more via Link, so a link-to-link call. So, for example, if my company was federated to your company, we can just do a, you know, a link-to-link call. So the phone number is irrelevant, because whether you're on your mobile device or your, say you're on your mobile device, and we'll talk about mobile devices, because there is a caveat to the mobile device, the way it's been implemented, but say on my, you're on Link, you give me a call, same as Skype, a Skype-to-Skype call, it's over the internet, a link-to-link is over the internet. What does happen, which is really cool, I've got things like simultaneous ring on. So if you do a Link call and I'm not on line, my mobile phone's going to ring straight away. Likewise, I can be in the middle of a call and I can, you know, be running late for something and I need to duck out, and I can just forward the call straight to my mobile and we can continue where we left off. So it's some of that. That's a lot of the cool functionality.
Okay. And I mean, what about the, I mean, obviously from a manager's point of view is, you know, how can they control this? Can they do auditing? Can they do tracking? Is that functionality built into Link? Is that enabling a manager to better manage the, you know, the voice communications?
The reporting in Link is, so of course there's reporting and a lot of stats are given out of Link. when I first started in the reporting, started looking at the reportings, I was amazed at some of the detail that it'll go into. It can tell you, you know, the microphone that the person was using. So from a technical point of view, you know, the microphone, that type of thing. From a management point of view, there's reporting and call reporting, and also for compliance, you can do things for compliance as well, like recording IM messages and that type of stuff. Oh, archiving, I should say, not recording. So there is a lot. To be honest, in terms of the management side of things, I haven't had a. I'm sort of more geared, more of a techie, so I've really concentrated on the techie side.
Okay.
But like, there's a lot of plugins available, and more software coming available. Things for doing, you know, call centers and all that, running out of link as well, are available as well.
Okay, so if we want to look, if we want to integrate it into our network, is it just something that integrates directly into AD? Do I have to? Is there anything complicated or special that I have to do? I just plug it in and point it to a domain controller, and it, you know, links into the user accounts. Is that how it works?
The thing about link. And I was talking to someone once, and they said, if you install Link in the morning, you won't have a job by the end of the day. And it's so true. It comes to the planning, because it's not just as simple as that. If you, for example, go down and install some, and let's say a fairly small shop, you just want to have one server. So we have one Link front end. We'll have an edge server so we can communicate with the outside world. And our reverse proxy, and our PSTN gateway to do the voice traffic. So, you know, that's probably as small as you can get, and they can be virtual too. Don't forget those servers can all be virtual. The thing about it is that you've got to look at, you're going to be okay. Active Directory, you need to do schema preps. You've got a whole heap of prerequisites, and depending on, is it an edge server? Is it a is it a front-end server? There's different prereqs for that. There's a whole heap of DNS records, certificates. The list goes on and on and on. And the first part to start, if you're looking at it, of course, is TechNet. Microsoft have some really good blogs. The Dr. Rez, I think, is one of them who's on Twitter. And the other one escapes me at the moment, but I'll think of it. But they have the planning tools. So the Microsoft, they make this planning tool. And you punch in the numbers, you know, I want to support web conferencing. I want to support enterprise voice. And it builds a nice little plan, and it gets the plan for you about 80% right. The reason why I say it doesn't get it quite right is there are, in the README text, there's a couple of things that will mention. It does mention that it's got some... one of the certificates it doesn't do properly and some things like that. But I always use it and the firewall rules are just massive. Swiss cheese when you're talking firewalls for Link. But, and I came from a background where I was a bit concerned about security and stuff like that. The first time I looked at this Link firewall rules, I was like, oh my God, you know, we're talking on the edge server as an example. We have our general 443 traffic coming in, and also 5061 for the SIP, for the Federation traffic and stuff like that. But you're also, for your media, you'll have ports 50,000 to 59999 open and things like that. But the thing is it is security. They are very mindful of security. Your edge server, as an example, you don't put it on the domain. And if you look at the traffic and you look from the planning tool, there's some cool little diagrams, and you start looking at the way the traffic goes, it's pretty secure as long as you follow their best practices.
Okay, I mean, that's as it obviously is with all their products. So, okay, so let's take a step back and look at it and say, okay, in your experience, you know, what's the smallest organization that could, you know, effectively implement Link on site, you know, obviously with minimum servers and minimum setup and that sort of thing? I mean, you know, what size do you think that it says, well, you know, this is the absolute minimum size of business that we are to actually make Link on premise effective?
It's a good question. Sometimes I think too, it's more about, like, for example, the company I work for with, let's say 40 techs running around, and it works really well for us because of the type of business we are. And I think that's some of the bit of the key is the type of business as well. Rather than, you know, a set number of people.
So for example, let's take as an example, here's a, I suppose, a good small business example that may work well. I mean, what would you say to something like a real estate agent that obviously has, you know, people in-house, but the majority of you've got people running around showing properties on mobile phones, making calls, looking tenants. You know, is that a business that would work well with Link?
I think it is. But at the moment, like if you're talking a relatively small real estate agency, the cost into getting those is going to be a bit, there's going to be costs involved. That's where the Office 365 product at this stage is coming in. The downside, of course, to Office 365 is we don't have voice. We can't do enterprise voice. So that is a big thing. If you're really wanting to get Link on-premise for their enterprise voice, there is also companies out there that are hosting Link as well. So it is possible. So not going down the Office 365 route, going to a hosted Link solution as well. And then you get your enterprise voice. So it's...
Okay. So, I mean, there are options out there. And as you say, on-premise, you're obviously looking at, you know, a business of significant size or that has a, you know, a specific need. And obviously there's a major investment involved in getting on premise and getting it set up and maintaining. Now, we mentioned there the Office 365 option. So again, part of the Office 365 suite now is the availability of Link. So again, it's a matter of being able to pay a simple subscription per month per user, and that gives you access to the majority of Link features. So again, there are two Link plans, but unfortunately at this point in time, they don't include the enterprise voice, but they do basically include everything else. So you do have, you know, link to link calls, you do have conferencing, you now have recording, and that sort of thing. So I think, you know, that is a great option for small business or, you know, businesses that want to get into it. I mean, what's your feeling on the, you know, the Office 365 version versus, you know, obviously what you're doing on premise? Is it a major step down?
Definitely not. I mean, the enterprise voice is the only thing it doesn't have is the enterprise voice. I'm often talking to people on Office 365 because don't forget we can federate with Office 365. So if you're Link on premise, you can federate with everyone who's on Office 365. So it really is at this stage just the enterprise voice. You can do your Exchange UM. Now, I believe you can do your, and in the small to medium business, I guess Exchange UM probably is not that, not many people would be using Exchange UM, but with Office 365, you can connect to your on-premise Exchange UM.
And I think the important thing there is that, you know, the idea of the federation, I think that's what a lot of, you know, smaller businesses are now coming to grips with. So for me, for example, is if I've set up my Office 365 and then I federate with my peers and I can federate with customers who also have implemented Office 365, it gives them the ability, like I said, to see your presence, to come in to do a chat, to, you know, do a voice, a link-to-link call. And again, it gives me the ability to do, for example, a web conference and to invite all these people into it. So again, you get the ability, for example, to be having a conversation about something and then easily drag and drop somebody else who may not be necessarily within your organization but is federated to your you know, Link environment. And again, they can be brought into the conversation. So again, it's a bit like the old social media scheme. Once you begin to see all these organizations start to federate with each other and to share this information, you know, and again, moving around with mobile devices and mobile machines, you begin to see the real power of Link to be able to achieve this because, like I said, suddenly the phone number or your location becomes irrelevant.
Yeah, and mobiles, I mean, that's a good example. So the Link mobility, if you're running Office 365, you can still run Link on the mobile. So, you know, there's still, and you, it's mainly for the IM and things like that. One of the link mobility is, I'm not a big fan of it because you end up being, I'll be on the bus and then I'll have a customer contact me with a problem and they'll be like, why aren't you responding to my IM? And you're like, oh, I was on the bus.
And you're right. I think that it's certainly the trend of the modern world is you know, all connected all the time. But on the other side of the coin is I must admit that the people who I've, you know, federated with in my link, if you sit there and change your status to busy or in a meeting or whatever, they're much more respectful of that generally. They're not generally as demanding because, again, I think perhaps is, you know, they can easily see what your status is. And again, you can go in link, obviously, and you can put a little tagline and say, you know, on the bus or traveling in the train or back in 10 minutes or that sort of thing. So again, I think it's part of the discipline perhaps too for them to understand how to use the tool fully to actually communicate where you are. So it's not just a crux to make it easy to get to you. It's actually a good mechanism that you can control, you know, how and when people do contact you.
Yeah, well, and that is a real key point to it, is the presence, and it's where there's such a big benefit. Because if I'm busy, I don't want to take a call, you know. And you can see that straight away. So you're going to save time, and then you can just tag me. If it's you really want to, you know, you want to talk to me, you just tag me, and then as soon as I come back online, you get a little pop-up that says, Shane's back online. And you can start off with an IM and say, you know, can we have a call? And then next minute we go, yep, cool. We can, you know, flick that IM straight to a voice or video call. And away we go.
And I think one of the other nice little features I've seen is that when you go to launch a link conference or whatever, you can actually put in, or link call, you can put in there what the topic's going to be. So again, you can preface somebody and say, look, I'm going to be calling you about X, or I'm going to be calling you and this customer is already going to be linked in. So, and again, it gives you a heads up rather than just, you know, taking a phone call that who knows where, how you may be placed. So I think, yeah. Again, it's probably like any IT tool. I mean, you know, email is probably, you know, one of the greatest inventions of mankind, but on the other side of the coin is also one of the worst inventions, because used incorrectly, people spend so much time trolling through emails, getting frustrated, not getting things done, losing information and so on. So it's like any tool. The functionality and the power is there. You've just got to probably spend a little bit of time with the product to really reap the benefits.
Yeah. This is you mentioned before, you know, people changing the way they work and things, and learning how to use Link itself. Often we'd be doing a deployment and we're taking people's phones. Now they've been working all their working life, they've had a phone, and then we come along and we go, you don't need a phone anymore. People don't like that, and they're like, oh, but I need a phone. Generally, and I'm sure there's one or two people out there who'll disagree, but generally after a few months, even people who have the phone, you say to them, when was the last time you used your phone?
I think it's another case of not only does it give you the ability to remove the phone, but it also gives you this other, you know, the web conferencing. It also gives you the IM and all that sort of stuff built into it as well. There's so much more that can be, you know, gained from the product. It's just a matter of, again, you know, getting over that initial hurdle. And for me, another example is something like SharePoint. SharePoint's a fantastic product, but a lot of people, when they open it up, it looks very bland, it looks very basic, and they, oh, I don't want to know this, I don't want to learn it, blah, blah, blah. And again, I suppose it goes back to even using like Excel. If you'd never used Excel and you'd opened up, you'd go, what the hell's going on here? How do I use it? But again, it's a matter of learning the tool, and used effectively, you know, can produce real results, I think.
Yeah, definitely.
And I think the other interesting thing that I'd be interested to get your comment on, and something I've have had an issue with, is that one of the things you can federate Link to with Office 365, I know, is Windows Messenger. So the good old traditional MSN Messenger and the chat and all that sort of stuff, you can federate to Link. But I must admit that I've had some issues the Messenger people to connect to my link ID and that sort of stuff. Once it's linked up, that's fine, but actually making the initial connection seems for some reason to be a bit hit and miss. Do you have any ideas on that sort of thing?
Yes. So I run my own personal email through Hotmail. So I have my own domain and I use the Hotmail. So I use my own domain with Hotmail. And I had to set up service records, the similar that you would have to set up in if you're putting link, whether it's link on premise or in the cloud, you have to set up service records in your domain. I had to do that same thing for my Hotmail. Hotmail, of course, if you're just using a hotmail.com or live.com, they're going to have those records already done. But I have had issues in the past. One of the things that video calls, stuff like that, the encryption can play havoc with the... There is, I forget offhand the exact command line, but you have to run a command line in PowerShell. This is more on the on-premise version of Link. So you have to, you know, make some configuration changes. But it, yeah, hit and miss. I've experienced the same thing.
Yeah, it's interesting because I've managed to, I suppose, tie it down is that I can certainly add a MSN or a Hotmail Messenger contact into my link, but generally they have to initiate the contact. They have to say, I want to connect to my link ID, and then I see it and I connect. But if I go the other way, it tends to get lost somewhere and doesn't get through. And part of the Office 365 setup is that you do have to enable this federation with third parties. And when you do that, automatically all the Messenger servers are enabled to achieve that. But again, I found it to be, like I said, a little bit hit and miss. And my understanding is that it has something to do also with the fact that the live infrastructure on which Messenger runs is slightly different from the Office 365 infrastructure. And again, they're looking at amalgamating or merging the two together, and that integration will be much, much better. And again, perhaps it will be interesting to see whether something like Skype, again, comes into the fold and is able to federate to something like Link. Probably not, because completely different infrastructure, but that would certainly be impressive if they could do that down the track.
Yeah. One of the things I hate is having so many accounts. I have Skype. I have a Link. You know, I've still got, it's just, I've got MSN and Messenger. I hope they do. I really do, because I'd love to be able to just have the one client, have my Skype and everything tied into one. It would be much better.
Well, I think they're probably, and again, it seems to be that they are. We are moving that way to a single identity or a single, you know, I mean, for better or for worse, or for a lot of people, their identity provider would be something like Facebook. You know, they log into Facebook, and that's now logging them into all these third-party sites and, you know, connecting them to their phone and whatever it is. But we certainly seem to be moving towards this world in which there's a single number, there's a single email, there's a single contact, whatever you want to call it, and that we can push out or push all our information through that medium. So whether that's good or whether that's bad, it certainly in a business sense makes things a lot easier when we have to, you know, communicate with each other, I think.
Yeah, and let's face it, if we have one nice secure password, surely that's better than 100 passwords with the, you know, word password or welcome one or any one of those other passwords that everyone always reuses.
Yeah, I think so. So I think, look, I think it's a good, definitely a good thing. So one of the other things that I think is really powerful about Link is obviously the web conferencing and the video conferencing. And what's your sort of feedback on how that compares to a product like Skype, but also to a product like the older Live Meeting? Is it better? Is it worse? Is it how do you rate that sort of? And do you use that, you know, the video conferencing a lot?
So I've used Live Meeting, and my opinion of it was, you know, it wasn't very high. It did the job, and it did it really well. But I wasn't, you know, I wasn't a big fan of Live Meeting, especially if you're trying to do presentations over Live Meeting. I always found it very difficult. Whereas Link, because it's all inbuilt, and It's all the same whether I'm making my phone call, making sending IMs, or then transitioning into straight into a conference. The integration is what, you know, it's seamless. It's just easy. It's so much easier. And I've used a few now, conferencing, so very similar. I mean, the quality-wise, it's great. And it does depend on your speed, the speed of your links and so forth. So if you're running over 3G,
you're going to be limited, of course.
You're going to be limited. But if you've got a decent internet connection, and when I mean decent, I'm just talking, you know, your standard home connection, it's so much better, I find, well, in my opinion anyway.
So, I mean, do you, in your experience, you know, are people and yourself using like the web conferencing where, you know, you get lots and lots of people listening to someone doing a presentation or pushing a PowerPoint out or showing their desktop? Is that a big use of it?
Yeah, but often it's the one-on-one or one, two or three people where you're doing some training, or you might be doing... So as an example, I did some training the other night where I was talking to someone in the States that was showing me about some product. And so you get, it opens up those kind of opportunities where you can talk to people overseas. Tomorrow I'm doing another conference, and tomorrow's is just going to be with two other people. And I've got an issue with some phones that I'm looking at. So we've got the vendor coming in, and it's gonna, you know, we're gonna have a quick conference, and we'll probably have the problem fixed in about 30 minutes. I find, for me personally, it's those kind of conferences that the value really comes in. I do know, like, it's by default you can do up to 250 people, so they are big conferences.
And I think that. That's one of the big opportunities I see for the SMB space, for the simple reason is a lot of them have never had that sort of product in their hands. And now, you know, what you can do is you can now use it to do a presentation and show a PowerPoint. You can do it live and take questions. But the big thing now is obviously you can now record that, take that recording and pump it up into something like YouTube, or you could take it and then, you know, upload it to a website and push it out to other people. So where my experience started with video was is back when I had my infrastructure business, one of the biggest problems I had was trying to get people to understand or to show them how to reboot a server. You know, so we wrote documents, yep. We sent them emails. Yeah, but, you know, the server's down. We can't get to the document. We haven't got the document, blah, 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 blah. So at the end of the day, what I did was I did a quick Camtasia, captured the screen, stuck it up on YouTube and said, like, anytime your server goes down, look at this, you know, 2-minute video and we'll show you how to do it. And ever since that day, you've gone, oh, okay, now I begin to see the possibilities of doing this sort of thing, of actually using video. So again, using the integration with Link and now, you know, being able to turn on that recording and record a meeting. So how many meetings do you go to that there's, you know, one or two people that are missing? And, oh, you know, you've got to take notes. It's just so much easier to start the meeting, turn the recording on, all the whiteboards, all the ideas, everything's captured and they can just download it and view it at a later stage.
Yeah, and for the small, for the SMB, I mean, I come from more of an, I've been dealing with larger enterprises, but the one that I see is cutting down on the travel.
No, you know, good point.
Cutting down on the travel, it's like I can be working from home or working from the office, it doesn't matter. But if you've got 3 or 4 customers who, or 20 or 30 customers, but, you know, on any given day, let's say you got 3 or 4 customers and they're all simple issues. Do you want to have to drive out for half an hour and then drive across somewhere else for another half hour? You know, or do you want to just get in remote desktop and, not remote desktop, but...
Yeah, you remote into their session and have a look. And because, again, you know, I mean, how many times you say, oh, the person, I've got this wrong with the system, and you've got no idea, you know, what they're talking about, but as soon as you do see it on the screen, you go, oh, okay, yeah, click this, do this, or do that. So you're right. I mean, I think that, again, for the SMB, especially the SMB reseller who probably isn't looking to take up the Microsoft Office 365 cloud offering in any great demand as yet. I mean, here's an opportunity to again use this link in with customers, because the other good thing about Link is that there's also a runtime. So again, basically you can, you know, if you want, you can give the client a link. They can run it in their browser and get limited functionality. But if you send them the runtime that allows them to download it beforehand, run it and install it, when they get the link, they just get almost full fidelity. So again, if you can send that out, they can install it. I mean, it gives you a lot of power to get to their desktop and have a conference. And again, like you said, very importantly, save travel. And not only with customers, but again, imagine meetings, you know, rather than having to be at a meeting at 9 o'clock in the morning, again, you know, if you do it via link and you can integrate the video so they can, you know, everybody can see each other and still get that face-to-face experience, that's going to be a huge, you know, a huge time saver. As you said, to multiply that out by, you know, a lot of people, that is a big saving.
Yeah. And the other thing is, I mean, costs. It costs nothing to make a, if you've got a Office 365 and you're looking at, you know, Office 365 in the cloud, you're getting Link. I'm not sure of the cost, but it's not that expensive, is it? It's what? Do you know for the link?
Yeah, I mean, the cheapest way that you can get into it, obviously, is the small business and professionals plan, which starts at, you know, $7 for a suite of products. But even the enterprise plans that provide more, you know, basically their functionality is not a huge amount of money. So I think the important thing is, you know, people total up the cost of Office 365 is going to cost me and I'm throwing money away. But the big thing is, and I think this is something you probably agree with, is that the enterprise products, you know, you're getting access to enterprise products. You're talking about, you know, in a perfect world on premises, you're talking about edge servers and, you know, multiple servers and all this sort of interfaces. Well, with Office 365, you just pay for it as you use it. You've got it more or less the full functionality down to your desktop without you having to worry about the back end stuff. So I think, you know, that's where it's really, really powerful. And that's where a lot of people dismiss it. But I think they're the tools that a lot of businesses, especially in the small space, are saying, well, we need this functionality, but obviously we can't afford it. And that's the best way to deliver it.
Yeah. And I think going forward too, and we're already starting to see it a little bit, is that having a product like Link differentiates your business with another business. So your real estate agent, like we were talking before, imagine a 5-person real estate agent or a 10-person real estate agent. If they had Link, then Link now opens up or to most clients, you know, to people like myself who work in enterprises, so I can contact my real estate agents via Link with no phone call costs, you know, so quickly you're going to be saving that $20 a month or whatever it is, $7.95 a month.
Yeah, exactly. And then you're going to be rolling it out. And like I said, if you put a bit of smarts behind it and do the video conferencing and record that and push that out as well, it's certainly you know, paying for itself. And that's not to include the Exchange component, the SharePoint component, and what else is available there. So again, and I think the other thing too is if you haven't seen Link, and you know, because Office 365 is a per user per month, if you want, you can get it for a month and see what it's like as a trial. You know, and there's even a 30-day trial. You know, again, there's nothing stopping you from getting it via Office 365, giving it a try, setting it up, evaluating it, and seeing if it does, you know, does basically work for you.
And the thing is too, I mentioned earlier on about planning. That I'm talking about the on-premise. That's the steps for the Office 365. It just steps you through the install. It really does. It's simple.
Yeah, and I think that you know, again, it's part of this also too for these sort of people is something the reseller is. This is something that you can really get your teeth into if you want to go down that track. I mean, obviously, I think you're saying is that there's huge potential still within that environment to implement Link on premise, but also to do it through the cloud. So this is an area where people could definitely expand into if they, you know, wanted to move in that way.
Yeah, yeah. And for the people that are looking after the small to medium businesses, the SMB, there's some massive opportunity here to take products like Link, start using them, and start integrating them into their existing current clients. I don't know about you, but I hate looking after hardware. And personally, I see the cloud as a great thing. I can, in the small to medium business, I mean, it's a different environment, But I think the opportunities are there are great, but you just got to take it and run with it. You got to not, it's, yeah, massive, massive.
Well, I think you're right. And I think the thing is that the good thing, as typical with most of Microsoft stuff, is that you can basically get your own 250 licensed tenant. There's a one or there's a fairly some simple exams you do need to pass, and you know, just for the first 12 months anyway. But there's not a lot to qualify to actually get your hands on this sort of stuff. Now, that said, is you could still go down and buy, you know, the $8 plan to get started. So, you know, it's not a huge investment to get up and understand this product. And I think you'll find that if you do start selling it and you understand it, do show it to customers, they're going to pick up on it really quickly. I think that, you know, they're going to see a lot of benefit from it. So I think, again, you know, the two products in the Office 365 suite that I think has the most potential is the SharePoint and the Link, because, again, not a lot of businesses, especially in the small space, have experienced those products. So I definitely see huge potential. I think you obviously agree with that.
Oh, definitely. And the Link is the product that differentiates the Microsoft offering to the Google offering, in my opinion. Because, look,
that's a good
at
point.
The end of the day, Google Apps, it does email and all that type of stuff. It does all those things, but they really don't have the Link. They haven't got the Link.
Well, I think the big thing is that, you know, one of the eye-opening experiences I had was that Microsoft had their big picture event down at, you know, most capital cities, but I was there in Sydney, and you really get to see the power of these products when they're all integrated together. When Outlook is integrated to Link, and you know, you can leave voice messages and video conferencing, and it links to SharePoint. You can, somebody's online, you see the little jelly bean being green, and you pop up a conversation. And it, you know, once you begin to see this integration and how it works with Office and all that sort of stuff, you're beginning, oh, okay, you know, I'm really beginning to see the benefits of that. So I think that, like you said, if you take it piecemeal, you know, the comparisons are maybe a bit more difficult to make. But when you start looking at integrating so many of these products, Exchange, SharePoint, Link, Office, all together and using them, you know, as they're meant to be, is the differentiation from other providers is just huge.
Yeah, yeah. And I could talk all night about Link, but we haven't really even discussed it. I mean, you just said there about the Outlook, the integration with Outlook. I never mentioned that with the bubbles, you know, the
jelly
presence.
Yeah.
So I didn't even think about that at the time. So, you know, if you get an email from someone, I can instantly see they're online. And if I want to call them, I just click on their name, say call, and it'll just do a voice call. And if they're not on the voice, it'll go to their mobile and, you know, save time.
And the other thing, again, from the manager's point of view, is what I've seen is that, you know, these conversations, these instant messages, these voice records, if you want, can be saved to the Outlook. They can be tracked. They can be audited. So, again, the big thing is, and what I tell a lot of people is, you've got to realize these are, you know, enterprise features, some of the real enterprise features that you'd never get your hands on for such a price is now per user per month. And again, it goes down to, you can sign up for just one user to get started. That's all you need. If you just want to eval it for 6 months, just get one user and just see how it works, you know. And again, you can obviously build from there. So I think that's one of the big fundamental changes for someone like yourself working in the enterprise space is, you know, money's not such an issue, but down in the small end of business, now it is. You know, we can't get access, but this Office 365 product and similar products are providing that, you know, that full fidelity product for, you know, basically a very, very cheap price.
Yeah. And of course, it's the automation. And so PowerShell's integrated into these products more and more. It's just, you know, very easy to do.
So just we'll spend the last little bit on the PowerShell side of things, because obviously I think that one of the things you're keen on as well and very experienced with. I'm curious to know, what's the PowerShell? Is there any PowerShell available for Office 365 with Link, you know, in the cloud as yet?
So it's limited. My understanding is that it's quite limited. So I haven't been doing a lot on the Office 365 in terms of PowerShell, so actually writing scripts and so forth. But if you look at the product releases, I mean, Windows 8 is now out, and in beta anyway. PowerShell is fundamental, and so Office 365 has got the PowerShell commandlets. It's just getting more and more fundamental. So if you're not learning PowerShell now, and you're looking after, you know, you're administrating these systems, you're really going to be behind the eight ball in another 12 to 18 months, or if not sooner. You really are now, but it's going to get, you know.
Yeah, and I think you're right. I think we're seeing it even on the on-premise stuff, even in the, you know, the small business server world, even in the Windows server world, is once you sort of open up and start looking at PowerShell and do a few PowerShell scripts, and there's, you know, just so much information available online. You don't have to be, you know, an absolute coding whiz, but you can certainly make some huge improvements with just some very basic statements. And I think you're right. It's again, another interesting observation to me, that just not enough people are into this.
I was going to say, the interest in PowerShell is expanding. 2 years ago, I was doing a couple of sessions at TechEd, and I'd say at the very first thing, I said, put your hand up if you use PowerShell. And I reckon there was one or two, and the room was quite packed. This year, asked the same question, and I would say almost 50% of the people put their hand up. And so we're talking, you know, 30 or 40 people at a session. Now, I did three labs this year at TechEd. They were always booked completely full. So most people these days realize that, you know, they have to learn PowerShell. Windows 8, the server version, I always like to say it's the GUI is an optional extra. So if you download the beta of Windows 8 server, and for the small SMB guys, my understanding is, and correct me if I'm wrong, but the SMB server releases 12 months or whatever after the Windows, that's the server release. So the current SBS is about 12 months after 2008 R2, isn't it? So, and it's based on 2008 R2 core. So if you look at what's happening in Windows 8 server now, that's what's coming in SBS. And that is PowerShell driven, very much so. There's still a GUI, and the GUI will always live on your desktop. But the servers, they will be, you know, better if they're GUI less.
And also, too, I think the other big thing is, obviously, which I've seen you implement is the remote PowerShell, so you can actually, you know, sit on a workstation and run it and hit the servers and do all that stuff without actually having to be on the server. So, again, you're beginning to see this real power of automation. Again, do it once, do it right, and it makes it so much easier.
And with Server 8, there's an awesome, my absolute favorite new feature is PowerShell Web Access. So you run up PowerShell in IIS, and you know, you can get to it from a web browser, which is absolutely awesome. So you know, you can two-factor it or whatever you need to do to secure it, and then you just run up. It's like the remote desktop. You know how they do remote desktop?
Yep.
Yeah, it's exactly very similar. Comes to a logon page. You choose which server you want to connect to. Type in your username, password, you connect into, and you get a little blue box, and you've got all your PowerShell commandlets, and they're ready to go. So I can be on my iPad, and I could be on the beach, or I could be on my Windows 8 tablet when they come out, which I will be on. But I could be anywhere, and I'm going over HTTPS, and I can do full management of all my servers.
Yeah, and that is that's beginning to be a very, very powerful thing. And I think that, you know, part of it is the people that do spend the time and implement this are going to reap the benefits and are going to be able to manage and pull out that information. I think you'd probably agree that we would see that there's going to be features or functions that you can only access via PowerShell, which I know is the case with Office 365. There is just some stuff you cannot get to at present by the GUI, and I assume that's probably the way it's going to keep going.
Yeah, well, Link on-premise is a perfect example. So you can do a lot of things in the GUI, but majority of it is all via PowerShell. If you want to do things quickly, Learn PowerShell.
Exactly, exactly. All right, so I think that we are reaching the end of our time. I do take this opportunity to thank Shane for making time in the evening to speak to us and to give us all this fantastic information around Link, but also around PowerShell, which he is also very skilled at and well known as well. So what we'll do is just to wind it all up is we'll get Shane firstly to give us a bit of a summary and a bit of a, you know, why, you know, he thinks you should be getting into and looking at Link and understanding it, and also, you know, why you should be looking at the PowerShell stuff as well. And then to finish off, if you can just give us you know, your contact details, if people have got questions or follow up or want some more information about you or Link or PowerShell, how they can get in touch with you. So if you could round that up for us, that'd be great.
Rounding it up, Link, I mean, I just get on Office 365 as a start and get the Link happening. Just start trying it out. Then if you want to look at it, you can, you know, Just start today, because the benefits are massive, especially around for your business. And it's the nice, easy wins that for your customers too. It's you can say, have a look at this great product, and you can show them these awesome features of Link. And often, like coming from an enterprise, the IT section is always like, oh, you know, IT again, IT. But with Link, all of a sudden, iTeam's got a really good name because you're offering this awesome product, awesome service. Number two thing, PowerShell. You've got to learn it. If you're managing systems today, you need to start. You need to have started thinking about it. And I guess if you are interested in learning PowerShell, there's myself and Chris in Melbourne. We're always keen to help out. People learn. We sometimes run some live meetings. We Link conferences, and we're running Link conferences on learning PowerShell. The basics, you know, we start off the real basic stuff. So we're doing some more of that. And I guess our contact details is via the website at powershelldownunder.com. But if anyone wants to talk to me, ask me questions about Link or PowerShell, hit me up on email. So shane@powershelldownunder.com.
Excellent. Okay. Well, again, once again, I'll thank Shane for the time and, you know, obviously giving out his valuable information. And hopefully that will spur people to look and start considering Link, but also to get more serious about PowerShell. So with that, I'll thank Shane for his time, and I will sign off and encourage everybody to continue listening to the Computer Information Agency Need to Know podcasts. Thank you very much for listening. This podcast has been brought to you by the SharePoint Operations Guide. For more information, visit www.wssops.com. To provide feedback on this podcast, visit www.ciaops.com/contact.